Once again, we'd like to state what a joy it is to come to Camp Creek Church. It's just been a delight to visit back with you. The Lord has certainly blessed your pastor and blessed this church in such a wonderful way over the last number of years. My wife was not able to be with us on this trip. Miss her being here, and so many of you have asked about her, and she always enjoys coming here as well. I remember one time, a number of years ago, I was going off on a preaching trip, and I don't have any better cheerleader and supporter than my wife, but I said to her, I said, honey, I said, I'm going to have to preach 4 or 5 times this weekend, so please pray for me. And she looked at me and she said, honey, I've got to listen 4 or 5 times, so pray for me. So, you know, but preacher's wives need praying for too, and certainly we're very thankful for our companions and certainly Miss Ann with us on this trip. I want to speak just for a little while this afternoon from the book of 2 Corinthians. We'd like to title the message, Helpers of Your Joy. We'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and just use verse 24 as our text. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. I trust that I, like the Apostle Paul, have the desire to minister to God's people and to be a helper of their joy. That's my intent here this weekend in coming to Camp Creek Church, is to show you once again the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So many times in our lives we go through difficulties and trials, and no one is exempt. We live in a broken world. Our lives are broken. We need one another. What a blessing it is to come together to hear the gospel proclaimed and enjoy the fellowship of one another. It's important that we minister one to another. It's important that the pastor minister to the congregation. It's important that we all point one another to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, knowing at all times that all of our real comfort has to come from God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I recognize every time I stand before a congregation, whether here at Camp Creek or at home at Mount Gilead on a regular basis, it has to be that God blesses by His Spirit in order for me to proclaim the gospel in a way that will comfort and edify the congregation and be a blessing. But you know, it's the same way with each of you. Somebody may say, well, how many ministers does Camp Creek Church have? Or how many ministers does Mount Gilead Church have? Well, it has as many ministers as it has members. We all are to minister one to another, knowing that if any real comfort is given, it's got to be God that gives the comfort, because He is the Father of mercies, and He is the God of all comfort. But notice what Paul says in this passage. He says, who comforted us in our tribulation. The Apostle Paul himself went through many trials, went through many troubles. Sometimes we think that men like Paul and Peter and Elijah, that they were made out of something different than us, that they really did not feel the pain and the trouble of this world. Well, that's not the case. In fact, it says in the book of James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man of like passion, just like we are. The apostle Paul suffered greatly. Notice with me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just some of the trials and troubles that he went through. He says in verse 24, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I can read this real quickly, but you know, sometimes it should be that we stop and meditate really what this servant of God endured. He was beaten. He had stripes upon his back. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Notice some of the trials that this man endured. I was listening to a minister on the Christian radio station a while back, and he said that he had been suffering with an illness. He'd had cancer for a couple of years, and he said one day he was feeling quite sorry for himself. He was going through a time of just having a pity party, and he said he got a card in the mail, and he said it was homemade. He said, but all that was written on the card was what I just read of the Apostle Paul's experience. All of that was on the front, and he opened the card, and it said, now, how do you feel? Well, a lot of times, see, we think these people did not suffer, did not have real pain. But Paul and these men knew what it was like. Notice with me another passage that shows this so clearly in the Apostle Paul's life. In the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle is speaking about his latter days. He knew that ultimately he would be beheaded by Nero. He knew that death was imminent. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, beginning with verse 6, he says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to finish well, don't you? Amen. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust God. You know, it's one thing to say that we trust God when things are going well. You know, when your bank account's up and your blood pressure's down and the children are behaving and everything's going, you know, good in life. You can come to church and you can leave and say, I'm living by faith. But how is it when the bottom drops out? How is it when the difficulties do come? See, we say we like living by faith, but really none of us enjoy living by faith. We would like to know, we think, what is around the next corner. But really today, if we had that ability to give you that, I don't know that any of us would really want to know. We are to live by faith. We are to trust God. Yes, so much in life is outside of our control. Here the Apostle Paul sees that he's coming down to the end of life. He says, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he says in verse 10, notice what he indicates. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, here's someone that had been a friend to Paul, but he says, now Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed from me. Verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. And then he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And then he says in verse 13, just remember, when Paul is writing this, he's not in a nice office like I have at home. He's not in a nice pastor's study. He is in prison. He is waiting to be put to death. He says, when you come, he says, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. While Paul was coming down to the end of life, what did he want? He wanted God's word. It was cold. He was in a cold, damp prison. He wanted his coat, but he was still trusting in God. My friends, today I pray that God would give me such faith to be able to trust him in those dark times and not murmur and complain. So often in my life, that's where I find myself, is murmuring and complaining. Paul wasn't murmuring and complaining. He wanted the word of God. My friends, the word of God is sure. God's word today is a foundation. He says that everything else may crumble, but his word stands. But it gets worse for Paul. Then Paul says in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You ever had somebody to do you some evil? Has anybody ever said something about you that wasn't so? Anybody called you a name? Anybody bullied you? I've had, through the years, even recently, somebody accused me of something that it just isn't so. My first reaction was, I'll get them. I'll make them pay. They don't know who they're messing with. That's my old carnal nature. But you know, Paul, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He doesn't give us any details about what this man did, to my recollection. But Paul says, the Lord reward him according to his works. There are things today that's outside of our control, but God's in sovereign control. God rules and reigns. God is so big that we cannot begin to comprehend him. He doesn't need our counsel. He doesn't need man. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, he says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. God rules. He reigns. He's on the throne. My friends, he's the sovereign ruler. He knows every hair upon your head. He knows when a sparrow falls to the earth. You may think today that you're outside of his understanding, that your life is outside of his purview, that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. I'm here to tell you that he knows every detail. And even in those situations when there has been injustice done, and maybe like Paul here, when he was done wrong and you wanted to get evil, Paul says, or God says through Paul in the book of Romans chapter 11, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. There have been some times when I didn't think God was taking care of it and I wanted to help him out. But I want to tell you the best way to handle those situations, rather than retaliate, rather than trying to get even, is just saying, Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. I know that you are able to take care of the situation. Paul says in this passage, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Then he says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Listen to that. Paul says, all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. That's precious, isn't it? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Sometimes in life, all human props are removed, but God's presence sustains us. My friends, I think one reason God allows us to struggle so long in this world with sin and difficulty is to make us realize just how desperately we need grace. See, it brings us back to His sufficiency. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. The Apostle Paul had the thorn in the flesh. Sometimes today people have the idea that God wants everybody wealthy and healthy and happy. Well, that's just not the case. That's just not biblical. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn was, but we do know that it was very painful. Paul prayed that the thorn might be removed. Did you know that God always answers prayer, but He doesn't always answer the prayers the way that we ask them? A couple of years ago, I was looking after a lady. The doctor had told me that death was imminent. She did not have long to live, and I was her primary caregiver. One afternoon, a couple of ladies came by from our community, and they didn't know that this lady that I was looking after was so sick, and they began to find out about her condition, and I told them that the doctor said that it wouldn't be long before she passed away, and this lady said, oh no, I just don't believe that, and she said, will it be okay if we have prayer? I said, sure, I'm welcome prayer. So they had prayer with this lady that I was looking after, and this was like on a Friday, early Saturday morning. She passed away, and we had her funeral on Monday. Well, it happened several days after the funeral. I happened to see these ladies around town. And this lady spoke up to me and asked me, she said, how is Miss So-and-so? And I said, well, she passed away. I said, she's doing fine. But, you know, it was almost like God was obligated to raise her up. My friends, we have to be submissive to God's will. God is sovereign over all things. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and Paul prayed that it might be removed. But it was not God's will to remove the thorn, but God said to Paul, listen carefully, He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for when you are weak, then are you strong. And see, the opposite of that is just as true. When you are strong in self, then you're then weak. My friends, it's when we realize our weakness, when we realize our need of God. He, just like He did not leave Paul, my friends, He will never leave nor forsake you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, once again, it describes the greatness of God. In verse 25, He says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. Oh, today, may we pray that God give us a greater view of God, His greatness. So many times I believe we bring God down to our level. My friends, He is so great. He is so big. He's not kept in a box. My friends, He works His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? The God that you serve today, how big is He? In the book of Psalm 115, He says, the heathen, they have their gods. He says, they have eyes, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. Hands have they, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Now, how would you like to have a God like that? My friends, the God that we serve is able. He's capable. He has not abdicated the throne. He rules and reigns, and he is the one that we are to have center of our life. Amen. Heard about the story about these two little boys that were quite bad, and they were brothers and needed some help and encouragement. And when one mother said to their mother, said, "Well, I'll tell you, when my son got like that, I took him down to the pastor and the pastor counseled him." So anyway, the mother took her two sons down to the church, and one of them was waiting out in the narthex while the other one was back with the pastor in his office. The little fellow came there and he sat in the office and had all these bookshelves around, and he was just looking around, and, you know, the pastor came in and sat down, and that was, you know, sort of intimidating to this little fella. And he sat there and looked at the pastor and looked at the bookshelves. And after a while, the pastor looked at him and said, "Where is God?" The boy didn't say anything. And the pastor looked at him again and said, "Where is God?" He asked him the third time. He says, "Son, where is God?" He jumped up. He ran out and grabbed his brother by the hand. And he said, "They have lost God and they're trying to blame it on us." Well, the point is, where is God in your life? And see, many times young people today, they're looking everywhere else but the right place to find direction. I don't know what I ever did without the GPS. Even coming up here, I mean, it helps me knowing all these streets to turn. I don't know what I ever did. But sometimes the GPS can mislead you. I was going to my son's ball game 2 years ago when he was a senior in high school. And we had the address plugged in to get to the stadium out of town. And we went and drove and drove and drove. And we ended up at a cemetery. And I thought, well, this is not right. So we went back out to the main street. We plugged in the address again and ended up at the cemetery. And so when we finally did get to the stadium, others said they had the same problem. But the GPS, global positioning system, can mislead you. But this is God's GPS, God's positioning system, and it will never, never mislead you. And so when you are looking to God for direction, in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, the wise man Solomon said, "Trust ye in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." He says to trust in him with all of thine heart in everything, and he will direct thy paths. God is able to keep this universe going. Back last December, I was, having one of these panic attacks. You know, I thought it was my job as a pastor to keep everything in the church together and everybody's life together, you know, and trying to keep everything intact. And I heard this one man say, he said, "I just want to say to all of you preachers, you are not the fourth person in the Trinity." And amen to that. I said, "Thank you so much. I am so thankful to know that it's not left up to me to keep things running. But God not only created this universe, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. But everything consists, it holds together by God. If God can hold together this universe, he can hold together our lives." He says in this passage in the book of Isaiah, he says, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" Verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number." He's talking about the stars. I get up early every morning to go to the gym, and I'm usually at the gym about 4 o'clock and get up early and see the stars in the sky and just wonder, how many are there? And today, with all of the technology that we have, it's my understanding that 1 to the 22nd power is the number of stars that have been photographed. That's not how many there really are. They're more than that. But he says in this psalm, listen carefully, he telleth them, he calleth them all by their names. In the book of Psalms 145, it says he telleth the stars. That word tell, just like you go down to the bank and the teller counts your money. He telleth the stars, he counteth the stars, he calleth them by their name. God not only knows the precise number of the stars, he knows their name. And so many times I forget the names of people that I've met. And I used to get so provoked with my mother. I only have one brother, and many times my mother would call me my brother. And I've got three children, and it's coming back home, because now if I'm not careful, sometimes I'll call one child the other child, and they get provoked with me. It's not that I really don't know them, but that's just our human frailty. God never forgets anything. He knows the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. He says, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Listen carefully. Not one faileth. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? Now this is what we say. Jacob says, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Instead of praising the Lord, they were complaining to him as though he did not know their situation and that he had no concern. Verse 28, he says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In the times of life, we're faint-hearted. He says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and run and be not weary, and they shall have their strength, see, in God. Yes, today, there is strength in God. I hope today that these verses are helpers to your joy. In the book of 2 Corinthians, once again, Paul becomes very personal, talking about his own trials and his own troubles. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice again how he talks about his own discouragement. So many times I have people to come to me and they talk about how they're discouraged and depressed. Life is tough. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said on one occasion that he was pressed down above measure insomuch that he despaired of life. Now, these are the words of Paul. He was pressed down above measure insomuch that he despaired of life. But then he says in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Then he says in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yes, Paul was cast down. Paul said he was cast down. He was pressed down so much that he despaired of life. But then there was something that came back to his mind. That's why we need to have the gospel. That's why we need to be reminded. We're to be the helpers of one another's joy. In the book of Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Jeremiah called this back to mind. Paul says, "I was pressed down, but yet I remembered that God hath delivered me. He doth deliver me, and he will yet deliver me." What a God we serve. Today, no matter where we are in life, we can trust in him, and we can certainly find that we have reason to joy. In closing, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says in this passage, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." It goes back to the resurrection. Paul says, "Knowing that he that raised up Christ shall raise up us also by Christ. For all things that are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Paul says our light affliction. Now, notice what I brought before you this afternoon, the trials and troubles that Paul endured. And yet Paul now says for our light affliction. Is Paul minimizing our pain? Not at all. But he's saying we have to live by faith, and you look at this world from heaven's vantage point. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." That's in our faith. The things that are seen are temporal. Everything in this world is timely, but the things that are not seen are eternal. My friends, Jesus Christ came to this earth because of his love for us. This world is not our home. Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again." Jesus Christ came to this earth. Mansions wait us on the other side. We have an inheritance on the other side that is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. It gets better than that. You may say, "Well, what if something happens to me and I don't make it?" The next verse says, "You are kept by the power of God." The inheritance is sure, and you are sure to reach the inheritance. That's why Paul says, "While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen." The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. In my office the other day, I pulled out this folder that I've dropped just these funeral records in through the years. And I was just amazed at how many funerals I've preached over the last 25, 30 years. And I thought, if the resurrection is not true, I mean, what would we have? If Christ is still in the grave, what does the resurrection mean? It's like a paid receipt. It indicated the work's done. The battle's been fought. That's comforting news, isn't it? to know that Jesus Christ fought the battle and he won. We're not defeated. We're victorious. We're victorious over sin, over Satan, and over death itself. You know, sometimes we think we want to live forever, but you know, the longer we live, with the more trials and troubles we face, it loosens our grip on this world, doesn't it? One of the first churches I pastored up in South Carolina, I was a young preacher, and went up there, and somebody would call out most every Sunday, how sweet to die. Well, there was this lady in that congregation, a visitor. She was not a member there, but she came up to me after the worship service, and she said, "I just dislike that song." She said, "It is so depressing. Why would anybody want to sing How Sweet to Die?" Well, I stayed up in that area preaching for, I don't know, a couple of years periodically. And this lady, this same lady, went through a battle with cancer. She had a teenager that was very rebellious. Her husband died. He had been unfaithful to her. She had one trial, one difficulty after another. I was there one Sunday morning, and this same lady that earlier told me how much she disliked that song was the very one that called it out. "Farewell, vain world, I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. Sweet angels back on from on high. Then, oh, how sweet to die." The Apostle Paul could even face being put to death. He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." He had his identity not in others. He had it in Christ. God's grace was sufficient for Paul. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And that is true for all of us this afternoon. It is our desire and hope that in the preaching of the gospel, we may be helpers to your joy. I thank you for your real good attention, and may God add his blessings is our prayer.